Welcome back to the Soda Pop Podcast. This is episode 5 or season 2. I'm Lainey.
I'm Mark.
And today we have an amazing guest, Ed Mabry, who is an actor, comedian, and you've been a World Slam poetry champion for how many times now?
Four times.
That's awesome. And we're really excited to have him. He's also a keynote speaker of I2E2 conference, which is going on right now, which is Friday, September 20th. But when this podcast comes out, it'll already have happened. So.
Right. And we're actually recording at the table where we had our panel this morning. So this is another on-site episode.
Mm-hmm.
So, like we said before, you work as multiple things. You're an actor, you're a comedian, and you're, you know, a spoken word champion. So between like acting and spoken word, are there any like commonalities between the two fields, or things that you use in one field that you can also find yourself using in another, in the other field?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, anything involving the performing arts is going to have some sort of correlation.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we trick ourselves as artists into thinking that we're not using the same muscle, but it's all the same muscle.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of, I guess, as far as poetry, performing poetry live in front of an audience to engage them when you're off paper, mm-hmm. Is very similar to theater. Mm-hmm. You know, not to put your business on the podcast. She's graduating a degree in theater. But theater, and then also, and then theater is just a step away, of course, from acting for film or TV, right? So you have your memorization, also your character analysis, which applies to poetry, because whether it's your poem or someone else's poem that you've been sharing,
mm-hmm.
It's the ability to kind of analyze it and break down the intention. You know, what was the intention of the author?
Mm-hmm.
If it's a movie, what was the intention of the screenwriter? What did the playwright want to try to convey in this moment? What emotions, what moods, what colors, what setting, what feelings? So all that still kind of changed over here. So it's all very much, there's minute things in there. Some things you might do on the stage for theater you wouldn't do in film, that mm-hmm. you wouldn't do in poetry. But majority of the stuff is kind of across the board.
Mm-hmm. And so because your majority that you've done also is with poetry,
mm-hmm.
In your opinion, like, why is poetry such a good way to free your emotions? And kind of being able to say what you really wanted to say, like what's been in your mind?
That's a good question. There's an old joke, I don't know who started it. They said the great thing about poetry is anybody can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And the bad thing about poetry is anybody can do it. You know? Because if you say it's a poem, then it is.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, it's with film and TV and comedy even, those are still audience-based. It's a two-way street.
Mm-hmm.
With poetry, like, all right, da-da-da-da-da, and that's my poem. Then that's it. That's my poem, and it's inarguable. So in terms of the feeling part, it's just that more people can be more subjective about what they put into it. And you're less likely, you're less likely to have someone read your poem than you are for them to see your movie,
mm-hmm.
I guess, if you're in that kind of connection. So you're more likely to be more honest. And it doesn't mean that everyone in film is dishonest because I'm in film.
Mm-hmm.
But you're more likely to be honest because you're writing it for something that was normally personal, first person of interest to begin with. Where the movie might be more, you wanted to say something to the world. Where this is just wanted to get something off your chest.
Yeah.
Or say something about your view of a thing. So therefore, your emotions are going to be usually a little more closer to the surface.
Mm-hmm.
Less subplot. Though a lot of poems can be extremely deep and abstract. But it's still going to be normally something that's easier to digest for that exact reason. It's less work. You're trying to, you could say, you can comprise an entire movie inside of a poem.
Mm-hmm.
There used to be not a running joke, it's actually a truth. When Star Wars, the original first Star Wars, before your guys' time, you guys are young, but the very first Star Wars, when it was pitched as a Western in space.
Mm-hmm.
That was a whole, and someone said, let's buy it. And like, think what that turned into.
Yeah.
Like that a Western in space turned into this thing. But when you think about it, that's the person who knew it knew enough in terms of writing and prose
mm-hmm.
to describe it. Where they're like, if I describe it as this, it'll open up all these other images
mm-hmm.
in someone's head. Because you're like, they were black, they were white. The bad guys were black. Luke Skywalker wore white.
Mm-hmm.
There was desert involved.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of guns, they had lightsabers.
Yeah.
There was still this greater good against this great evil, and the evil outnumbered the good, and the good mm-hmm. came through at the last minute. You're like, holy crap, that's a Western.
Yeah.
You know, there's even the big fights, like there's bar scenes, there's big cantina scenes where there's music and there's a slug out, and you're like, wow, how are we so blind? That was a Western. It was a freaking Western, just with aliens, you know. So yeah, so poems can do that for you, you know.
Right. So we've kind of been through your the results that you've gotten from poetry, like being the 4-time World Slam Poetry Champion. And so what I kind of want to know is what kind of first brought you into poetry? So we have the result. What was the original intent that you had?
Can I mute this? This is going to be embarrassing. okay, so I got started in poetry. There's no deep thing to it. Everyone always has some deep, you know. I was born writing poems in my mother's womb. I came out with a pen in my hand. It's like, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. Your hand was too small. Couldn't hold a pen. Stop lying. You had no muscle control at the time. I started writing poetry seriously because I got my heart broken. And I was like, oh, she broke my heart. I hate you. Call me. You know, that kind of thing we do. And there was a poetry venue a block away from my house. And I had never been. And I was like, I'm going to go in there. And I wrote this horrible poem, this horrible long poem on a typewriter. And I read it. It was so long. I used to read it. No lie. It took me a month to read it. I went every Wednesday for a month. And I would just read until someone would go, stop. They'd be like, that's enough this week. And I'd be like, okay, I'll be back next week, guys. And I would come back. And the last time I stood up, I said, this is part 4 of 4. And I got a standing ovation. And it was not because it was so good. It's because I said it's the last part. And everyone was like, yes, he's not coming back after this. This is great. And then like the following week, I had the urge to come back. I'm like, this is stupid. I embarrassed myself from these people. I'm not going back there. And the week started getting closer to Wednesday. And I was like, oh, I want to go. And I went and I wrote whatever I wrote. And people were like, oh, we're glad you got that crap out your system. You know, now keep coming back. And it was this thing that just... it just clicked. It made instant sense. Mm-hmm. Fast forward, like, I don't know. I think after I won my second world title, not bragging, just saying for time's sake, my second world title, I'm telling my mom, like, Mom, I won this world level poetry slam and I'm the winner and everyone in the world and me. And she's like, okay, that's, yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I'm like, what the hell, dude? Like, be happy for me. And she's like, next time you come home, I'll show you. And I went to visit her and she pulls out this Foot Locker and she pulls out these poems that I wrote as a kid. And like speech contests I had done as a kid. And she's like, you're just coming back around to who you were. You forgot this. You did this when you were a kid. And then one day you got teased or bullied about it and you just quit writing poems. Mm-hmm. And that was it. So you're just coming back into who you are. But that's my whole ugly, beautiful start. Mm-hmm. Just, yeah, typical thing. Boy meets girl, boy likes girl, girl likes boy, girl crushes boy forever. You know, boy writes poem.
And so not only with poetry, though, you actually recently in the last few years dived into comedy.
Yes.
So what kind of drew you to add that kind of field to your repertoire?
Because I'm a sucker for punishment. It wasn't. I just stumbled into it. Someone broke my heart. Actually, when a friend of mine wanted to go to a comedy class, and she's like, I don't want to go alone. Just go with me and sit there so I don't feel silly. I was like, cool, I'll sit in the back. Like, it was a comedy class. Someone can teach you comedy. Mm-hmm. But I'll go with you. And after, like, the second or third week, she's like, okay, I'm comfortable. I'm good. You don't have to come anymore. And I was like, nah, I kind of want to come. excuse me. And then I kept coming to it. And one of the owners of the venue pulled me aside on a break one day. And he said, look, I'm tired of seeing you sit there brooding over this journal. Like, every single word needs to be Shakespearean. He's like, you're funny. You're a comic. If you want to know if you are, I've seen you on stage. You're a comic, not you know how to write a joke. You're a comedian. Congratulations. That does not mean you're going to be the next Kevin Hart or Cat Williams or whoever. It just means you're a comic. Now, what you choose to do with that is up to you. And I was like, oh, that's it? Like, that's easy. Okay. And I started going to the open mics and performing. From that, I started being asked to host the open mics, host the amateur contest. Then from that, it was host the professional nights. That it was host a celebrity night, so the people you see on tour, like I'd be the opening act. Then it was go on the road and perform. Then it was go up to features and perform. Then I did the World Series of Comedy twice and made it think like the quarterfinals one time and pretty well the other time. And it just became this thing where I was like, oh, this is what we're doing now. Yeah. But it's always been something in me. I've always been curious. Even before poetry, I was always curious about doing comedy, but I was so deathly afraid of it. You know, because with poetry, like if I come up and say, hey, guys, I want to do a funny poem on your podcast. Mm-hmm. And if I get one laugh every minute, people go, that was a pretty funny poem. Mm-hmm. In comedy, if you got one laugh a minute, they'd ask you not to come back again. Mm-hmm. You know, like, so the measurement of that, like, is so wicked. Like, you have to constantly be being funny. And once I got over that initial fear, then I was like, oh, I'm supposed to be doing this. I'm decent at it. And that's kept going. So it's just work. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's like we're the things I can't do in poetry, now I can do in comedy. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, it's things you can say in one that you can't say in other these days. Yeah.
Yeah. So later tonight, while we're recording this, you're going to be going, actually speaking at our conference, I2E2. Mm-hmm. So when you were asked to be a part of this, what was kind of going through your mind? Did you have any, like, nervousness, or did you know kind of, hey, I'm going to go and I'm going to do my thing?
I very rarely think I'm going to go and going to do my thing. I oftentimes suffer from what is called imposter syndrome, which is really weird to be at this phase of my life and still deal with it sometimes. And that just simply means you're constantly waiting for someone to tap you on the shoulder and go, hey, you don't belong here. You fooled us. You need to leave. You go, okay, thank you. You can leave. So it was mostly that. It was mostly like, really? You guys want me for that? It's like, you sure you got the right guy? I'm only Ed Mabry, but, you know, you sure you got the right Ed? And like, yeah, we got the right Ed. Dude, you coming or not? Other than that, it was a blessing. It's an honor. I'm very, very flattered. What they're doing with the I2E2 is a very important thing, you know? And I've been to some other events along the same ilk of it where they're trying to express how art is important to your community, to schools, but also to your community, society, and to business. Because the government is trying to kill a lot of performing arts these days, mm-hmm. without realizing the benefit for younger people. Like, public speaking is still the number one fear. Mm-hmm. Like, drowning, sharks, spiders, the number one fear is public speaking. Mm-hmm. So the more you get people into performing arts, you don't have to be a poet. You know, theater does it, singing does it, technically music does it, you're still speaking through an instrument. Mm-hmm. Any of those things help, you know, improve that. And the cities that have a focus on performing arts have lower crime rates. Mm-hmm. They have lower, premarital pregnancy, teen pregnancy rates. It's a lot of crazy things. Mm-hmm. They've just been broken down from city to city. Drug use, et cetera. The confidence level boost, college graduates, people who attend and also graduate. If a school has a performing arts sector and a focus on the arts, even people who don't participate in the performing arts but just know it's there have a higher graduation rate, mm-hmm. than a school that just says we have no arts of any form, which is a crazy idea. You know, so it's just, there's a lot of proof to it. So I felt it was my responsibility also to be here, not just to perform poems, but to speak as the keynote speaker, mm-hmm. To kind of show, like, I'm a living proof of how this thing can improve and enhance your life. A year ago, I wouldn't have dreamt of this, and a year before that, I wouldn't have dreamt of doing a year before, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's a very necessary thing. And the diversity they've shown at this with some of the classes and workshops they've offered and performances have been great. Mm-hmm. From LGBTQIA, from intersectionality, opening up dialogue by a white person about white privilege, which is crazy. And necessary. Body image, body shaming, I think I saw in one of them. The complexities that women deal with in the modern era in terms of expectations of the old-fashioned marriage, have kids, mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff, the nuclear family, and how they have to buck against that and fight against that and redefine themselves. Yeah, so it's just all that stuff, and they're doing it through the arts, mm-hmm. to express it, you know, which we always pay attention to. We've always used art to get our point across. You know, arts has always influenced politics, not the other way around. You know, mm-hmm. arts influence politics. Songs have gotten people out of jail. You know, mm-hmm. songs have gotten actors or actresses, people involved, and then that made the government go, oh, we probably should do something now because everyone's looking at us. You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And because you're a speaker at I2E2, mm-hmm. and we're actually about to, you know, wrap this up and everything, so what kind of do you hope for I2E2? Like, what do you hope it ignites in the people that are attending? And for those that are hear about it, mm-hmm. and, you know, converse with people that have been involved as well.
Yeah, good question. I hope that it gets everyone to go back in their communities and keep this going. Mm-hmm. I would like for this one to be the peak, the main one, I guess. But I would love for other places to contact Dr. Brown and him and go, hey, we want to do this at a school here, at a school in this city, mm-hmm. in this city overall. How do we do it? Can you show us how to put this together? Can we do an I2E2 branch? You know, where we are. Because if you're having it here, then here isn't necessarily the big problem. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, every city can be better. So, like, Florence can be better. UNA could be better. But if you're having it here, at least that means your community is aware. Mm-hmm. of the beauty and what can happen with it. So then you want other people to spread out. And then same thing like you graduating, putting your business out. She's graduating with a degree in arts. Theater. But what you'll do when you travel, what you'll do when you pick up, you know, when she leaves. I think there was another, Jaleesa, I think, performed. She just graduated, what I was told. Mm-hmm. So what these individuals will do, even the students as they go on, and now they start pushing performance arts. And then, of course, same thing, the students or the kids that are coming into the school to see something that's go, oh, maybe I should check out UNA.
Yeah.
Because they're more forward-thinking than I thought, or they're more forward-thinking than I thought the area was, the demographic of the area was. So they come in wanting to immediately go, hey, I want to be part of this thing next year. And all that, so it becomes this pipeline, you know, where you keep feeding and growing. So that's what I expect to happen from it. I'd be surprised if it didn't with the breakdown of people that are here. And I'll do my part to, you know, help that happen. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I really hope that if any of you guys actually came to the conference, considering this episode is going to be released after it's over, I'm hoping that you guys really enjoyed it, that you enjoyed Mr. Mabry here. You enjoyed him, and that you were able to learn something and can go and spread it in your everyday lives. Because, like we've been saying, we've been pushing for this for since we started the School of the Arts, that it is important to get the arts out there. And like you said, with everything kind of being pushed aside, with I know in some schools they're like taking funding away from fine arts programs to fund more sports.
I mean, my high school didn't even have the arts program until my junior year of high school.
Wow.
Because they just didn't think about it, and they don't even give funding, proper funding to the arts programs as well. So I lived through that. So I definitely think that putting arts programs into various high schools, because students need the outlet. To be able to free themselves and be able to, hey, if I have a problem, I want to be able to write whatever I need to write or act or whatever I need to act or sing just to release that, you know, tension that you have inside yourself. So I definitely think that a lot of the teachers that did come today very much thought when they went, they came up to us afterwards and were like, this helped so much, and we learned so much about this, and questions afterwards and the questions that were asked. I'm very excited to see what this goes to other high schools in the area, and for the colleges, the people that from other colleges came here as well.
It's really, it needs to be something that spreads, because if you guys think about it, I don't know a single person who doesn't at least listen to one song a day, or who doesn't watch movies or TV. And without, you know, our arts programs, we don't have a future in that, because there will be those few people who just really enjoy it, but they can't find a way to put themselves forward in that. And the industry is going to go down if we can't spread awareness about this, because, you know, that's what music and the acting and TV, it's arts. It may, you may not think about it like that, but it is. So you think you use the arts every day and you don't even know about it. So
I mean, there's art everywhere, like literally everywhere. Even architecture. So
exactly, yeah. And that's thing people don't think about, like the design of the buildings, the chairs you sit in, the schools, actually, you know, the theater we're in now. You know, things of that sort. The design from that and how that all trickles down, how the theater shape determines how you perform as an artist, as an actor, how the music comes in. That in turn affects how the people receive it, and how they receive it determines how they get inspired when they go home. You know, and then, it's literally part of commerce. It's, you can't, I don't think you can thrive or survive as a society without the arts. I literally don't, because that's literally taking away freedom of expression. And if you can't express yourself, you know, a bully, for all intents and purposes, is an individual who wasn't listened to. You know, so they choose to express themselves in a different manner. You know, the way we choose to weaponize ourselves at times, et cetera. Violence is, you know, like it was MLK said, the riot is the language of the unheard. You know, so those are all people who wanted to focus on performing arts of some sort, right? An art form, and chose to express themselves a different way because they weren't heard over here. You know,
Yeah, well, that's all the time we have for this episode. We really want to thank you for being here, first of all.
Oh, no, thank you. Thank you.
It's been a real joy to have you around, and I'm looking forward to what you're going to, you know, be presenting tonight as well. For everybody listening, make sure you check out all of our past episodes. We're on Podbean and iTunes. We have videos on YouTube as well. I'm doing my best to get those updated.
UNA School of the Arts.
UNA School of the Arts on YouTube. And then follow us on social media. It's UNA Soda Pop on everything. And if you're confused, which you shouldn't be, because I'm pretty sure we're the only ones.
UNA Soda Pop, yeah.
Look for the bottle cap, and yes. You'll find us.
And also follow Ed Mabry on Instagram as well.
Just my name. I'm mad easy fine.
Yeah. I mean, literally, if you search it up, it's like the first one that shows up. So you're good on that one. But yeah, make sure that you catch up and keep, you know, and stay tuned to our social media, because we will post a whole bunch of new things that are coming up.
Oh, yeah. We've been posting a lot lately, so.
Yes.
But otherwise, thank you guys for listening and watching so much, and we'll see you in the next episode.
This podcast has been brought to you by UNA School of the Arts, produced by Mark Gallegos and Lainey Green. Special thanks to Monica Collier and the SOTA staff.